a visit to Russia. On 12th of March, I flew out of New York for a one-week visit to St. Petersburg, Russia. My friend Kamala Motihar invited me to join her on this trip, which was a welcome respite from my demanding work in New York City. Before leaving, I was given the name, address, and telephone numbers of Albert Timashev, a young devotee living in St. Petersburg. He is on the mailing list for this newsletter and corresponds by email to Arunachala Ashrama. I carried some pictures of Bhagavan with me, thinking that I would give them to him when and if we met. Dennis, an editor of this newsletter, had already emailed him about my visit. My first attempt to talk to him on the phone resulted in utter frustration for both of us. His spoken English was at best limited, and my knowledge of the town of St. Petersburg was non-existent. Because of the language problem, we could not decide how to meet. I told him I would call back when I found someone who could speak to him in Russian. At the end of 2 days of hectic sightseeing, I asked my Russian guide to call Albert and arrange a meeting. After a 10-minute rapid-fire Russian chat with him, she told me that he would meet me on Monday, the 18th of March, in front of the Russian Art Museum, and that he would be wearing black jeans, a brown leather jacket, and a brown cap. St. Petersburg is said to have only 30 days of sunshine a year. But since the 13th of March, we were greeted by bright, sunny skies every morning. Again, on Monday, the 18th, we awakened to clear skies and bright sunshine, the same unusual weather pattern that was cheering the spirits of all, visitors and residents alike. At 1 o'clock, my Russian guide, Ludmila, and I waited outside of the art museum. Ludmila soon spotted Albert, a young, bright-faced, alert-looking man. Ludmila introduced us. Albert then went to bring his other friends, who had already arrived and were waiting nearby. Albert knew written English, but had little or no experience speaking it. Nevertheless, he stumbled on the best he could, as his four friends, three women and one man, looked on and smiled. I showed them the pictures of Bhagavan I had and gave them some candy I had brought. Of the four others, Constantine was the one who introduced Bhagavan to these friends and to the other members of their center called the Center for Spiritual Development. Olga was somewhat older and seemed to be the leader of the group. Julia said she was a vegetarian for the last 12 years, and Svetlana, another vegetarian, appeared to be very much like a sincere devotee. Talking again through my Russian guide, it was decided that Olga would meet me at 5 o'clock after her work and take me to the Center for Spiritual Development. At 5 p.m., Olga came and took me by taxi to another part of town. In Russian, she tried to tell me something about their center and the evening they had planned for me. Knowing no Russian, all I could do was nod and smile. Ironically, the only understandable sounds came from the tape deck in the taxi that played the latest American pop music. We reached the center at 5:30 p.m., which was housed in a two-story building in the interior part of town. The side streets were packed with frozen, slippery snow, making the walk to the center treacherous, and the low voltage of the street lamps seemed to accentuate the harshness of Russian winters. The center occupied a fairly large room and was furnished much like a classroom, with rows of desks and a piano at one end. I was led into the tiny office and seated at a table arrayed with fresh fruits, bread, baklava, cookies, and candies. I was offered peach liquor and then chai, tea. The Russian hospitality appeared to dictate that I eat while the five of them gather around me asking questions about Bhagavan and spiritual practice. After a little while of this solo eating performance, I offered the food to each one of them. They laughed, relaxed, started to eat along with me as we broke the cultural barrier. At 6 p.m., I was ushered into the larger room that was by then filled with about 40 people, all eagerly waiting to talk to me. Albert informed me that they all followed one of four masters and knew about Bhagavan. Those gathered seemed very eager and earnest. The questions were many, ranging from the reasons for Bhagavan's physical illness, comparing Bhagavan and Sri Aurobindo, the stillness at Sri Ramanashramam, to simple methods of spiritual sadhana. Also, they all wanted to learn how to chant Om and Arunachala Shiva. Albert and another young woman did the best they could to translate their questions and my answers. A long discussion followed among them as I became increasingly more doubtful as to how my answers were being translated. At some point, I suggested we meditate together. I recited Om, followed by the recitation of Arunachala Pancharatnam, a period of silence, and then the chanting of Arunachala Shiva. A most profound and deep silence followed this short meditation session. The energy in that room was so powerful and profound that we all became quieter and more centered. I almost felt Bhagavan gave them all an experience of the stillness of Sri Ramanashramam that they had so eagerly asked about. We ended the general session at 7 p.m., though the core group of five continued to meet with me for another hour and a half. Constantine, a young man of easy laughter and a deep spiritual quest, said he chanced to buy Oleg Mogilev's Russian translation of Arthur Osborne's Ramana Maharshi and The Path of Self-Knowledge, and that got the others interested in the Maharshi. The few hours I spent with these sincere Russians left me deeply touched. The cultural tour of St. Petersburg, with all its opulent art, palaces, and culture, paled before this simple evening with these five fellow sadhakas. In that small meeting house on the night of March 18th, 1996, Bhagavan touched us all in a very special way. This was an experience that will stay fresh in my heart forever. By Geeta Bhatt.